Today on Real Life Radio.
Politics, why should the Christian care? Because we are to persuade our culture everywhere. True biblical faith and scientific logic and practical reason should absolutely coexist in harmony. Why? Because the author of them all is the same one.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Well, friends, listen up. This is a very, very important plea. And it's not a plea for us here at the Real Life Network. It's a plea, actually, for you. We are living in remarkable moments, remarkable times, and you literally need the Real Life Network to be able to be available to you in an instant. In fact, we have just been meeting on how we can reach you live 24/7, 365 in the event of an emergency, in the event of a crisis. How can you connect with us and get biblically based, honest news in light of what's going on in the world around you? RealLifeNetwork.com. We cannot be canceled. And for this reason, now we see the clarity of why God brought us to do this channel in the first place. RealLifeNetwork.com. Sign up, subscribe, get ready. We will literally be broadcasting the truth to you.
Sign up for free at RealLifeNetwork.com. That's RealLifeNetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now begins a series called Politics and Your Faith with a message titled, Why Should the Christian Care? Now, when we look at our Christianity, there's no place in life where a Christian should not be a Christian, including politics. Now, this is why this series is vitally important, especially when it comes down to how we vote in the upcoming election. So we urge you to tune in and tell your friends and family about it, too. You see, as Christians, we are not only living by a spiritual mandate, but a cultural one as well. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that we are the light of the world, and we have a responsibility to be a public witness of our faith to the world. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that this nation under God was founded by Christians. Our government was meant to be by the people and for the people, both in liberty and in unity. Now with his message called, Why Should the Christian Care? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Constantly we are mocked. Constantly the Bible's ridiculed. Constantly Jesus' name, no one cuts their thumb and says, Mohammed, that hurt. No, they cuss the name Jesus, don't they? They cuss the name, the world cusses the name Jesus. And no one burns down something. Isn't that interesting? The Christian voice, biblically based, is a voice for good. It's a voice for the innocent. It's even the voice for the guilty. Our Judeo-Christian laws, jurisprudence in America is based upon the Bible. The Bible says that you should not receive an accusation against a minister, a pastor, a church leader without three witnesses. Did you know that? Says it in the book of Timothy. Oh, did you hear what this pastor? You know what? Stop, don't tell me anymore unless you have three witnesses. I'm not supposed to listen to it. And did you know our founding fathers said, you know, based upon the Old Testament and the New Testament, that's how people here will be convicted. We need two or three witnesses. And they put it into our jurisprudence and the creation of our system. And I could go on and on all night about what they've lifted from the scriptures. If you read John Locke's Treatise on Government and Society, two volume, you can buy it at Barnes and Noble's or whichever one's in business still. Buy it. 1,500, John Locke, 1,500 times John Locke cited the scriptures, and our founding fathers read John Locke and incorporated it into the creation of this nation. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. We are a voice for good. Who's going to speak up for the things that are wrong? And how do we speak up? We vote. We call in. Do you understand? Are you guys with me? You're so quiet. You call the 202 phone number in Washington, D.C. The thing says, press 1 if you are in or disagreement with this policy. Press 2 if you are in agreement. Use it. Do it. You've got the opportunity in this nation to do that. We can stand on street corners with signs and say yes or no, or up or down or whatever. Do that. It's your voice being proclaimed and you're standing for what is right. You can stand in front of an abortion clinic and tell that young lady, are you sure you know what you're doing? Please don't do what I did. You're going to regret it. Think about it. Give it one more week. Think. Read this before you make your decision. A voice for good. I can say that because I survived an abortion. A voice for good. Proverbs 29:18 in the New Living Translation says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If I were to ask you tonight, now you guys are different. This church is highly informed. But what if I were to say to you, are you aware of what's going on right now regarding? Most people, most citizens would have no idea, and yet it will affect their life and their children's life and their grandchildren's life for the rest of time. Christians are to speak into the culture, and we can do that in various ways. And I'll say in this season, voting is the opportunity that's before us. The third thing tonight is this. Our biblical worldview on politics, why should the Christian care, is because we are the keepers of civility. See, what do you mean by that, man? It's keepers of civility. What are you talking about? I'm talking about if you really want to understand Christianity or Christianity's influence in the world, you need to look at the spirit of Christianity, which is revealed in the Sermon on the Mount. What the Ten Commandments is to the Old Testament, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7 is the spirit of Christianity. And verses 3 to 9 of chapter 5, listen to this, as we are the keepers of civility. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We should be humble people who care about others. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When we look at our culture and we see the decadence and the decay and the injustice that's being done to people, to the widows and to the fatherless, to those that are truly hurting, honestly hurting, we should be prominent keepers of civility as Christians. You see, all of a sudden now, no place should be exempt from Christian influence. I had an amazing opportunity. I won't share much, but I spent, I don't know, I was in jail yesterday. I had an opportunity to tour a jail up in Castaic, Los Angeles County Jail. And I saw a lot of things, but I had a great opportunity as the chief said, you want to come up here and say something to these guys? God moment. I didn't know that was going to happen. But I won't tell you exactly everything what I said, but I just told them this because, you know, I walk up in front of them and I'm free and they're not. And I just said, hey, listen, I'll just say a few things to you today, but let's just keep this in mind. The only reason why I'm standing here free and you're here not free is because you got caught. But before God, we are all sinners. You see, I'm free because I didn't get caught. All of us have sinned. And these guys were there and they were studying the Bible. They literally had Bibles. In fact, by the end of the day, they were asking, can we get some sermons here? Can you get us some commentaries? We really like John MacArthur, they said. We really like, isn't that amazing? By the way, it's a pretty amazing thing to be in a jail. And when these guys stood up, I said, let's all stand up and let's pray. You got white guys, black guys, Hispanic, every color under the sun. Do you know what? These guys are, listen, I don't know if you know this. Law enforcement people here tonight will say, are you sure that really happened? It really happened. God is my witness. These guys stood up and they put their arms on each other. They touched each other. Black man, white man. And I made mention, you know, I said, look at you guys. The only reason why and the only reason for this happening is one name. It's Jesus. Only one name. Where Christianity is rightfully lived out, the gospel is honored, people are loved no matter what your view is, We become keepers of civility in a culture. A culture has no idea that when you marginalize Christianity and those that are trying to speak into the culture for good, you are destroying and attacking your own culture. Oh, what proof do you say that? The Judeo-Christian worldview influence? I challenge you. Hospitals around the world, look how they were started by whom? Overwhelmingly Christian. Schools, universities, missionary ventures, overwhelmingly Christians. Harvard, Christian. If you attend UCLA, when you go back to school, or if you have a logo, maybe you have a diploma, look at the logo from UCLA. I don't know if it's as current today as it once was, but on the logo of UCLA, in the middle, it has a book that's opened. Kind of looks like this one. And it says right here, "Let there be light." Think of that. We're keepers of civility.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Number four, our biblical worldview on politics. Why should the Christian care? Because we are to persuade our culture everywhere. True biblical faith and scientific logic and practical reason should absolutely coexist in harmony. Why? Because the author of them all is the same one. And we persuade men. You might be tempted to think, well, you know, I'm so educated, I really can't come to faith in God. You know what you just told me? You just told me that you have been so programmed with a bias that you've chosen not to believe in God, because if you are truly educated, you should come to the knowledge of God. Because science, logic, reason should lead you to the one true design engineer who made it to have purpose in the first place. Don't let religion get in the way of your conclusion. Let your conclusion end in a relationship with God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 1, Paul says there, or the scripture says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths," that's 3 weeks, reasoned with them from the scriptures, Old Testament, explaining and demonstrating, don't you love that, everybody? That the Christ had to suffer, that means he used scripture to show them the Messiah would have to suffer, and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were what? Persuaded. Why? Because the Bible says this, what really happened? Come to the conclusion. Use your head. I love it. Okay, I'm going to give you 3 slides. Are you ready? We're almost done, kind of. We're almost done. We should end on time. Okay, listen. First slide, John Adams. John Adams said, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." John Adams, founding father, signer, Declaration of Independence, second president. Next slide, John Jay. I look forward to meeting John Jay someday. He wrote a lot of cool stuff. He had his fingers in everything. John Jay played a great role in establishing the Sunday school programs in America's early churches. He was one of the founding fathers and Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. John Jay said this, Providence has given our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as privilege and interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? This is the Supreme Court Chief Justice of the United States of America in 1816. How the mighty have fallen. Patrick Henry. Don't quote me on what I'm about to say right now. I'm going off of memory, which is a terrifying thing to do. I believe, I'll come close though, by the time of his death, Patrick Henry, I believe he had 14 children, him and his wife, had 14 kids. And by the end of his life, Patrick Henry had 77 grandchildren. Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry opened his mouth and people listened. Patrick Henry was known as the orator. If you wanted to pitch a good idea to the American people or to the colonialists, you ran it over to Patrick Henry. That guy could talk. And he was not only considered a founding father, but obviously a patriot. Listen to what Patrick Henry said. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen, I want you to look at that for a second. Before we go to our fifth and final point tonight, I want you to look at that for a second. Some within the founding ranks and recognized as founding fathers, some of them were atheists. A couple were considered deists. Most of them had some form of seminary education. John Adams, for example, and his cousin Samuel Adams both entered Harvard Divinity School, because that's how Harvard started, did you know? Not as a legal school. It was a divinity school. And when you go to Harvard today, you can go on campus and find placards and monuments still from the time of when John Adams attended. Before John Adams. Somebody help me out. When was Harvard established? No, it's 16 something. It's Harvard and William and Mary. They rival back and forth by just a few years apart. Anyway, it's 16 something. So check this out. Here's the point. Forget that anyway. Here's the deal. You see this? Even though the founding fathers of this nation, predominantly Christian, and the founding fathers of the founding fathers, William Bradford and those of the Mayflower, profound Christians. Ain't no debating that. These guys say, even though, you know what, there's other religions out there, and there are religionists, this nation was founded by Christians on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that threatens you for a second, you need to take a deep breath and take a pill. Calm down. Because that is so true in what I was saying earlier, because people who were either good were put into power, or there were weirdos in power who feared good people. They're called politicians. I have to be careful. We have senators that attend this church, and we have congressmen that attend this church, and they're good men. And we have state assemblymen here in this church. We have state judges that attend this church. Good people, love Jesus. The point that I'm making here is, again, what I said earlier, you cannot find any nation on the face of the earth that allows you to be who you want to be freely, without prejudice, without ridicule. In fact, if someone is being prejudiced and ridiculing you, it's not Christian. They're not being Christians. The Christian is to be the most fair-minded person that you could know. If you know a Christian who's not fair-minded, then they're suspect. We'll close with this, number five, and we'll end. I have 2 minutes. number five. Let's recap. No. Number five, we end here. We are to obey God in all things. Our biblical worldview on politics, why should the Christian care? Simply this, we're to obey God. Well, I don't know if I'm going to vote because I don't know. Obey God. Choose your leaders. Abraham Lincoln said, and we end with this, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, please, Lord. And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Father, we thank you and we pray tonight, this whole evening, some would say provocative, too political, whatever. As I mentioned in the opening moments of this time together as a church, if someone was listening, they heard the gospel. Jesus came. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And we are so thankful tonight, dear Lord, that our sins tonight that have made us proud and arrogant, self-righteous, distant from God, that pride that builds up walls and alienates us from not only you, but from one another, maybe from our children, maybe from our parents, maybe from a husband, maybe from a wife. We've got walls of justifiable pain, perhaps, but they're walls nonetheless. And the cross of Christ brings them down. We are all equal at the foot of the cross. And we all need Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for sending us the Savior, Jesus Christ the righteous. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Why Should the Christian Care? You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called Politics and Your Faith. It's a series on obeying God in all things, politics, government, and our worldview. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
So Christians everywhere, and I hear it all the time, things like this, should I vote or I'm not going to vote? And they're Christians. Now, of course, you can be a Christian and not vote, but you can't be a Christian with wisdom and not vote. To not vote is to allow the enemy in your act of apathy to gain ground. In fact, our nation, we would all agree, is messed up and is in a situation and a condition unlike any other time in our country's history. Why? How did that happen? Are you ready for the answer? The church didn't vote. No, isn't it the bad guy? It's the liberals. It's those mean people. Nope, the church did not vote. That's how we got here, folks. The church didn't vote. So what we must do is we must be good stewards of what God has given us. You're supposed to be a good steward over the money God gave you. You're supposed to be a good steward over the time God has given you. Listen, you are supposed to be a good steward over the responsibility of this constitutional republic to vote. So listen, register to vote. Get out there and vote for pro-life candidates or pro-Israel candidates or pro-marriage candidates. Know your Bible and vote accordingly. But by all means, get out there and vote. So let's pray about it right now. Father God, we pray that you'd wake up the family of God in this nation. Lord, if every believer went out and voted their biblical worldview according to the scripture, this nation would turn around in one election. This nation would turn around in one day if Christians cared enough, stepped out of their apathy, and made their vote count for Jesus to do what honors him in an act of worship. If we made voting an act of worship and every Christian participated in America
righteousness would prevail. So God, we pray that you would give us the wisdom and, Lord, the catalyst to get up and vote and to vote rightly based upon your truth, God. Please, in Jesus' name, amen.
Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.